Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are in for a treat today. Not only do you get to hear me talk about the things I love to talk about in the financial planning world, but we have a really well-respected and well-rounded individual to be on the line with us to talk about financial planning, retirement planning, and he's got an outstanding vantage point, having seen this over a long period of time. So let me get introduced to you. Henry Hebeler is the name of our guest. He's a writer and educator on the realities of retirement planning. You can go to his website, analyzenow.com, for a lot more great information. Now, what's interesting and different about Bud, he's insisted I call him that. So Bud is a graduate of Massachusetts Institute of Technology. You know that better as MIT. And he's got 3 degrees, and he's won numerous honors and several fellowships. And most of his working career was at the Boeing Company, where he began as an engineer, worked his way through the financial analysis, procurement, sales, corporate long-range planning divisions, and ultimately became president of Boeing Aerospace Company in Seattle, Washington. And for 6 years, he was also Boeing's chief forecaster and planner, reporting to the chairman of the company. And he has served in a variety of capacities, advisory committees to U.S. Congress, Department of Interior, Commerce, Energy, Defense, economic advisor to Washington State Governor, and member of the Washington's Economic Development Council. And for many years, he has worked with retirees, helping them understand how this financial stuff works. He's developed special materials for their use and given numerous seminars on retirement. And so I'm really pleased to have Bud on the line with us. And Bud's not selling anything. He just wants to help. And I love that about his story. And he comes to us with several well-regarded articles and ongoing contributions to the Wall Street Journal and Market Watch. So it's my pleasure to welcome Bud. Bud, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you.
Excellent. Well, this is a treat. Okay. So first I have to say, if it's not Boeing, I'm not going. All right, I got that out of the way. Listen, you'll like this. When I was on vacation, and let's see, I think this was a summer or two ago. I think it was, yeah. And I visited Seattle, and we made part of our vacation going to the Boeing plant, and I've got one word for you. Wow. I mean, what an amazing facility, and see how they're putting these planes together today.
That was the 747 plant?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know at one point you could probably tell us that there were, what, millions of pieces, but today it's like they put them together and there's like 3 pieces that snap together, all done. It's amazing what they're doing. Anyway,
yeah.
So...
Yeah, that's a great plant. That's when it was built, that was the world's largest building. And then we added 50% more to it.
It was an amazing tour. So if anybody listening ever gets a chance to take the tour, you'll see why I say if it's not Boeing, I ain't going. So very comfortable feeling seeing how much work goes into building these planes. So let's dive in here. I know that you've written a lot, and I'm kind of cherry picking here a little bit. One article that you wrote, Bud, that I thought was interesting was, this is recent from May, the Wall Street Journal, The Financial Lessons of a Depression Era Baby. And I thought that was interesting because we don't hear about that every day. And so I wanted to ask you, and it's a bit of an open-ended question for our listeners, what are the lessons? What would you say to people who are right now in the throes of either just beginning their retirement or planning their retirement? They're getting closer within maybe 5 years of their retirement. What would you say to them from your vantage point?
People aren't saving enough money. Mm-hmm. And so what they have to do is save more. That's really clear. You know, you look at the statistics of what's happened to saving, it's really atrocious. Before 1985, people saved on the average 9 to 11% of their money. In fact, in World War II, they saved over 20% of their money. And then consumption started to take over. People started to buy a lot of electronics, cell phones, iPads, that kind of thing. And then savings rates fell. And you can't save and spend the same dollar. So savings fell. They took the brunt of the problem. And by 2005, in one quarter, savings were zero.
Mm. Wow.
So, yeah, it's really pretty bleak. And the average for that year was was a little over 1%.
Yeah, wow.
But it's come up to 5% now. And, you know, people should be saving 10 to 15%. 15% if they don't have a pension, and 10% if they do. But the savings rates are just terrible. So the most important thing I think I'd recommend is people really look hard at savings.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I mean, that statistic you mentioned about 10 if you have a pension, 15 if you don't, I think most of people fall in the don't category because, you know, the age of pensions has really kind of, you know, come and gone. I know there's still, it's still something that we see from government related, you know, organizations, police, fire.
You know, you look at the government people are saving money, actually. They have savings accounts that are great savings accounts available to them. And the average wage for the same kind of job in government now exceeds that in private industry. So a very large part of that 5% of savings is coming from government employees, not from private employees, which is an interesting thing.
Yeah, that is interesting. So it's the answer is right in front of us. It's the savings is the big thing. Now, you mentioned, I guess, kind of this consumerism that kind of took hold kind of around that 85 time period. In your research and work, and again, from your perspective, Bud, is that just the proliferation of, you know, the things that were happening at the time in the mid-80s? What do you think maybe was part of that shift? Did you have any thoughts on what might have caused that?
Well, I think the attractiveness of Apple. I mean, you know, people started to see people with the cell phones, and
sure,
everybody had to have a cell phone, and pretty soon all the children had to have cell phones. That and, you know, over that same time period also, the number of automobiles that people provided for their children increased greatly. So, you know, it's now sort of standard that a high school student graduates with a car.
That's true.
That certainly wasn't the case when we were kids.
Well, I can tell you what, I'm a perfect example, but you'll laugh at this. You know, my son is 14, he turns 15 in October, and my wife and I have already agreed that he's not learning how to drive with either one of our vehicles. So we're going to get him something that, you know, and again, we're going to be very picky about what we get, something really slow and with the tires hanging off the sides like a boat, you know, something very safe. But we may be getting that for him before his 16th birthday so that he can learn with that vehicle, you know, when he has his learner's permit. So, yeah, it has become very common. And all of that shift in consumer consumption.
Coming back to your car for your child, our neighbors just bought a truck with only two seats because they had read that most of the teenage automobile accidents are caused by other teenagers in the car distracting the driver. So his kid can have only one passenger in the car. I thought that was sort of interesting and not a bad idea.
I'm going to take it one step further. I think that's an excellent idea. I think we'll take the other seat out and it'll just be one seat. Yeah, I know what you mean, though. It is, and I think it will always be that way, that there are always distractions. And, of course, that's where our job starts and finishes, to try to help them stay focused. So we've seen a major shift, Bud, in the savings rate. And now, what is your outlook? Do you think that as the economy continues to improve, we may see that get better?
No, I don't think
really?
The economy
okay.
could get very much better. We talked about the lack of savings, but look at the national debt. You know, it's horrible. And it's doubled in just the last 8 years. And the states can't pay the pensions that they have. You know, there are all these pensions have COLAs that the states have.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got the new people they're trying to fund the pensions for. They got the people who have retired who are increasing in numbers all the time. And they've got to pay those pensions. And every time inflation goes up, they've got to come up with more money.
Right.
And then, you know, we've underfunded Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, those things are a problem.
Well, you know, one of the point you made, and this was in How Much Do You Really Need in your emergency fund that you wrote back for Market Watch that I thought was interesting, something you noted in that article that I wanted to ask you about, and you talked about how 47% of households, according to a recent study, 47% of households can't pay a $400 emergency bill without a credit card. And I think that is very interesting and quite the commentary about where we are today. And I'd love for you to, you know, expand on that a little bit for us.
Well, you know, it's not just pay for a credit card. It means that they don't even pay the credit company for the bill that they have on the credit card.
Oh, okay.
And something else that's worse, 2/3 of the people can't come up with $1,000.
Wow.
And it's real easy to come up with a $1,000 emergency. I mean,
sure.
All you have to do is have a root canal. Or crown, you're up there in several thousand, or an implant, or you're up even higher.
Absolutely.
Well,
and one of the things that you, the comment you made that really struck me, Bud, I applaud you for, you know, being so candid, is you said the reason for this is because the people are unwilling to make the necessary sacrifice to save instead of spend. And I have to ask the question, why do you think that is, that people aren't willing to make that sacrifice? Is it a, you know, live for today? Is it the constant bombardment of advertising? What do you think it is?
I think it's the Joneses.
Okay.
You know, people live in communities where they want to emulate their neighbors or be able to do the same thing. They have their children who are continuing to ask them for additional things, so because their friend has something.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's largely the people that you have around you, what you do, people trading ideas on the internet and games and the likes.
Right.
I think that's a good deal of it. And a lot of these things also come with subscriptions, and these subscriptions mean monthly bills that come with it. So there are a lot of things.
You can make a good argument, Bud, that surround yourself with people that are modest and prudent.
Well, that's, you know, when we were brought up in the Great Depression, that's the way it was. I mean, nobody had any money. We learned to darn socks, both my sister and I, and we did our own socks.
Right.
And we patched our blue jeans.
I remember patching blue jeans. I remember that. You know, you make the comment about kids asking for stuff, and, you know, when one of my kids wants something, and I'm thinking of one in particular, I won't pick on her, but she comes in with a prepared PowerPoint presentation to tell me why she needs whatever it is, and then presents it to me. And it's pretty funny. I mean, you know, it's compelling, but, you know, often the answer is still no, but it is compelling nonetheless.
I think that's a great story.
You're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Bud Hebeler is our guest today, writer and educator on the realities of retirement planning, and you're hearing why and why we brought him on. AnalyzeNow.com is his website. A lot of great information there, and you'll find some interesting resources. We're going to grab a quick break. We'll be right back with Bud to dig a little deeper into the subject of financial and retirement planning and also long-term care. Stay right there.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I focus on representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. For those previously divorced individuals who desire to marry again but want to avoid the expense and acrimony of another contested divorce, I specialize in drafting prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. You can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosenlaw.com.
What if in the time it takes you to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? Well, if you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. It's as simple as that. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? And there's no cost or obligation to meet with David. All you need to do is simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com for more information.
Hey, David Holland here. I'd like you to listen closely to a few words from my good friends, Tony Papandrea and Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation.
Hi, I'm Tony, chairman of the Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation. If you need more income now with some tax advantages and would like to leave a future benefit for Florida Hospital Hospice Care, a charitable gift annuity might be a good fit for you. Learn how to include charitable gift annuities in your financial planning. They could benefit you with higher tax advantage yields than you are getting now and benefit Florida Hospital Hospice Care later. Call us at 386-586-4440 for more information.
Hi, Hi, and welcome back. Henry Hebeler on the line with us. He asked me to call him Bud, so I am, and I'm glad to have him with us. He's got AnalyzeNow.com as a website you can check out. And we're talking about some retirement planning subjects and taking advantage of Bud's, well, I'm going to call it unique perspective, and there's a lot that Bud's done that allows him to weigh in on these subjects in a way that not everybody can. And I want to touch on another subject that is really interesting. I gleaned from another article you wrote, Bud. This one was back with MarketWatch as well, why you should comparison shop when you plan your retirement. You made an observation, which I thought was really interesting, about how people approach the process of planning and doing their retirement and some of the decisions they make. And it from your perspective, it sounded like that you were seeing a dichotomy or something that's different about how people plan their retirements, even though they spend a lot of time in other areas planning for their future or making other purchases. They don't seem to spend as much time or take as much care when it comes to retirement planning.
How about zero? You know, most of the people don't plan at all on retirement, and they just sort of come up to it, and then they try to make the decision themselves, or maybe they go to a professional to ask for some help, but that just doesn't work. You know, one of the biggest things I like to do is to encourage people to plan, and I spent, you know, a good deal of my working career in planning various kinds, and people have to do it in the financial area just as well. They have to look ahead. They have to find out how much they should save, or if they're in retirement, how much they can spend. They just got to do that. And they're, in that process, there are a lot of things that they can make some choices that can improve their lives a lot better. I mean, they can control when they retire. They can control the amount of savings they have or how much they're going to spend. They can control when they're going to start Social Security. They can control survivor alternatives. They can choose investments, you know, and different investment vehicles. They can't control their returns that they're going to get on these various investments. They can't control tax rates or inflation.
Right.
Long-term care, that's, you don't know whether you're going to get that. They can't control that. They can't control when they're going to die. There are lots of uninsured events. People have to start thinking about these things. And you can't project the future. You can't really tell exactly what it is. But you can make better choices in terms of what you think is likely.
Yeah, and I think it's a great point that you can do things about some of those things, some you can, and so the ones you can, then get on with it and actually think through and plan that out. And for a lot of people, you know, that aren't numbers, planning, projecting oriented like you and I are, for them, that's why it's so important for them to get maybe a second opinion or take some time with a financial professional. And I know that you would recommend maybe even talking with a certified financial planner about where you are and where you want to be.
One helped me a lot. You know, I didn't pay any attention at all to the financial subject other than to save money. I mean, my dad said, always save 10% for retirement. And so that's what I did. I put away 10%. And when I started working, and then I got to be about 40 years old, and I went to a professional planner, and he really helped me. He, you know, it wasn't just in terms of the investments, which he helped me a lot on, but he helped on insurance and estate planning. It turned out to be a great experience. It's just a consultation. I didn't give him control of my money. I just asked him for advice and paid for that. And that was a big, big thing for me.
Well, a lot of what a financial planner can do, Bud, I think you would agree with this, is two key things is that they're removed from your situation and it's not them and it's not their money. And that means that, one, they don't have any entanglements in the history of how you got where you are. So they can say, okay, here's where you are now without that history and say, here's where we need to, what we need to do to go forward. And then number two, because it's not their money, they are emotionally detached and don't have the same response to how the market may behave and things like that, that they can look at it more objectively, which for a lot of people is an excellent form of training wheels or guardrails for the retirement road ahead.
Well, I mean, that's their field of expertise. And, you know, if you're in that field, it's all right. You do a great job of planning, but few people are actually in that field, so they need the help. If you have a medical problem, you go to a doctor.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's only about 60,000 certified financial planners, my last count. It's probably a little more than that now, certified financial planners in the entire country. So, yeah, and people can check that out at cfp.net. Look for an advisor that's certified in their area. But I think that the perspective that somebody who, you know, it would be like, use the analogy of medical help. You know, I mean, good grief, that's what doctors do every day, is give people second opinions and take a look at where they are and prescribe a plan to, you know, to help them. So I think that it's smart where you get help where you're not as strong.
Well, that's right.
Well, speaking of the medical field, I want to get to another subject, and that is the one of long-term care. Let's do this. We'll grab a quick break before we dig in here. We're going to talk about long-term care with Bud Hebeler. He is our guest today, writer and educator of Realities of Retirement Planning. AnalyzeNow.com is the website. Quick break. Word from our sponsors. Right back with Bud. Stay right there.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support The Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y, for a better us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
Hi, this is Mike Peerless, NMLS number 1073735, Reverse Mortgage Director for Holland Mortgage Services, a subsidiary of Holland Financial. It used to be that people considered a reverse mortgage as a loan of last resort. In fact, our company's founder and host of this program, David Holland, was a skeptic himself. However, after many client requests, David investigated this product thoroughly and decided that a reverse mortgage could fit into one's overall financial plan. Holland Mortgage Services is a licensed Florida broker, and we can help you refinance your existing mortgage and stop making ongoing monthly mortgage payments. However, you're still responsible for payment of property taxes, homeowners insurance, and HOA fees. You can also tap your home's equity to pay off credit cards or put cash in the bank. Call 386-671-7526 today for a free evaluation. Sometimes, to move forward, you need to go reverse. That number again is 386-671-7526. Holland Mortgage Services, NMLS number 1432962.
And we're back. Henry Hebeler on the line with us. We're going to turn our attention to long-term care. And don't forget, you can go to Bud's website, AnalyzeNow.com, for some great tools to look at your situation and maybe sort some things out. Let's talk about long-term care, Bud. You know, this is a subject that for a lot of people, they say, you know, I don't want it. I don't think I want to deal with it. I'm not sure if it makes sense for me. It's a very confusing and difficult area for a lot of folks. And I saw that you written about this also on MarketWatch, so I wanted to get your thoughts about it. What do you say to people who don't think they'll ever need it?
Well, it's probably the biggest uncertainty that a retiree has. I mean, you look at a 60-year-olds have a 50% chance of needing long-term care. And of those that need it, 50% will have long-term care only for 2.5 years. That's what they average. So, you know, it's 50% chance or a 50% chance. But the money is big. You know, it costs a lot of money for long-term care, you know, upwards of $100,000, in some places more.
Yeah.
That's per year. And, you know, to spend $250,000 for long-term care, that's a lot of money. So it's something that, you know, few people can actually put enough money aside to actually pay for all of that, but they can do some things to help. And people don't realize that Medicare and Medicaid policies, they don't cover that. You know, you have to end up with Medicaid to get some long-term care. And we've had a lot of personal association with people on Medicaid. And some of the treatment just makes you cry. You know, we had one lady that we knew fairly well. We went to visit her in her facility. and they had her mattress down on the floor, and they had her tied to the mattress so she couldn't fall out.
Oh, boy.
And she was crying, and she had fallen out of bed the night before, and that was their solution.
Wow.
Some of the things are really sad. That doesn't say that all of
them
is that way. I'm
right.
not saying that. I'm just saying that some of the cases end up pretty bleak. And even, you know, look at insurers. We talked about the uncertainty, the 50% chance. Well, in 2002, there were 102 long-term care insurers. 2002, 102. Now there are only about 10.
Right.
So your choices are way down. And the reason is because it's so uncertain, plus the costs have gone up so much.
Yeah.
And even the ones that remain, you know, they've jacked up the annual rates. You thought you had a fixed number of bucks that you'd
right.
spend per month in that insurance premium, and then it ends up being a lot more as time goes on.
Absolutely.
Or otherwise, the insurer goes out of business. I mean, there were 90 insurers that went out of business over that time, and, you know, and then they leave you with very little. But the alternative is not all that great either.
I mean,
you know, relatives can help. We know a lot of spouses that have helped when their husbands died, and it's a 24/7 job, and it's exhausting.
It is
exhausting.
Sometimes
it requires a lot of strength too to lift a heavy person out of bed. It's not easy.
No, it's not.
That's really tough.
Yeah,
I think you got to look at it a little bit analytically too. You know, look at some policies, find out what they cost, look at the fine print, and see what they say. Annual cost is about over $3,500 for a 60-year-old couple now. And that may be the only choice that a lot of people have other than I'll face the Medicaid. If you're fairly wealthy, you know, you can save enough money to have it. The $250,000 that you might have a set aside might be fine for a person who has several million dollars, but for the boomers, almost all the boomers are really strapped for money. We talked about they didn't have enough money to be able to pay $400 car bill, you know, or something or other. They're strapped. So the practical thing is look at what the insurance policy versus Medicaid. Understand what Medicaid will do for you. Also, you might consider doing something about self-insuring if you took that $3,500 per year, and you were able to save that for 20 years or so, you know, you'd have $70,000 plus whatever growth that money
yeah.
had. You might be able to get up there $100,000 or so, and that might well cover you.
Absolutely. Well, that wouldn't hurt.
But, it's the biggest uncertainty there is in retirement, but I don't think you really want to be caught with Medicaid if you can do something to avoid it.
Agreed. I tell you what, the theme I hear, Bud, is plan ahead, like a lot of other things that you've shared with us, and I'm really glad that you've taken some time to talk to us about it. Bud Hebeler, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest today, writer and educator on the realities of retirement planning, analyzenow.com. Bud, I want to thank you for being with us. Very helpful, and love having you on the program.
Well, thank you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.